Okay, friends, that is the intro music for Don't Look Up, where we have thoughts, a podcast where we talk about movies. And in particular, right now, we're talking about the Oscar-nominated movies in our series we like to call Conversations with Oscar. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And today's going to be a little bit different. The next two episodes are going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge of people talking. We had some schedule conflicts, and we're doing the best we can in the time restraint we have. Crystal's hair looks fabulous right now.
Oh, no, you caught me checking out my hair in the camera.
I did. It looks so good.
That's not embarrassing at all.
Those braids from yesterday really paid off.
Right? This is what happens. Otherwise, I have no body. It's like mop.
I'm so jealous. I can't braid my own hair.
I will teach you one day.
I can't braid at all.
I will teach you one day. I just said.
I appreciate you and I love you. Like I said, we're talking about
I know, but I will tell you the one time that Joy braided my hair and it was not great. Anyways, continue.
That's just not our area of expertise.
That's okay.
It's also one of my favorite things. I'm like, oh, I'm going to see Crystal. Maybe I can get my hair braided.
Oh, I'm only of service to you guys.
Okay. So Don't Look Up, written and directed by Adam McKay, with a story by David Serrata, starring everyone in Hollywood. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, Cate Blanchett, Jonah Hill, Timothée Chalamet, Tyler Perry, and more. It's been nominated for Best Picture, Original Screenplay, Original Score, and Film Editing. It's got four total noms. And if you remember our takes on Vice, get ready for Don't Look Up. Adam McKay.
Get ready.
He's not our favorite around here.
I have to start off with like heavy sigh, because that's what I feel like this movie is to me, is a heavy sigh. I will start out with saying it's really nice to see Jennifer Lawrence again. I haven't seen her act in a while. I think I read somewhere that her last role was Mother, which I never saw.
But me either.
Taking a break and having a baby, and good for her, getting married. And with Jennifer Lawrence, like, I go back and forth with her. Like, I like her, and then I'm like, is she good? Like, I can never really tell. But in this, I was like, okay, you, I feel like it was Jennifer Lawrence being Jennifer Lawrence, but, like, with different hair, if that makes any sense.
I feel like Jennifer Lawrence was victim to the same stuff that Anne Hathaway is often victim to. It's like, she's a really great actress, but then she gets shoved down our throats, and it's like, ugh. You know,
right. You to be fair, Jennifer Lawrence was like, hold I feel on. Like I'm overstaying my welcome. Like, I'm sorry. Like, she was even aware of it. So maybe like that's what we needed, just a little break from her. She was 10, like, overexposure was a little too much, but it was nice to see her again. Like, oh, there she is. She is good. She's a good actress, I think, at least for right now. Because I rewatched The Hunger Games and I was like, is she okay? I can't tell.
I just recently reread The Hunger Games because I watched the first one, which, that first one was not
rough. It's a little rough. Yeah.
Right. So I just reread it. So yeah, she's been on my mind too. I think she's a fine actress.
That's a good way to describe her, a fine actress.
I think she's capable of great. I just think she needs the right roles.
Yeah, that's fair. Because for a while there, she was like, and we'll get into it when we get into our Oscar series about the next one's going to be this year about Silver Linings Playbook, how she was playing all of these roles that were, funny enough, Silver Linings was, and I'll mention this again later, was supposed to go to Anne Hathaway. Or I think he wrote it with her in mind or something like that. Mm. Remember? Because we went to that book.
I vaguely remember, and, yeah.
And then when he said that, I was like, oh, I could see it. Just because, like, she was just a little bit too young. And she kept playing, like, Joy, that movie Joy. I don't know. And then American Hustle.
Yeah, she was definitely playing older.
Yeah.
The gross part of me thinks it's because men in Hollywood were fetishizing her and wanting them in their movies, but they weren't writing parts for younger women.
No, and it's like, and then it's like, women in Hollywood can't win either way. Either you're too young or too old, so like,
yeah,
whatever.
But Silver Linings would have been a fine avenue for Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, It would have been great.
I think.
Especially because, like, she's supposed to have this lot of experience with, like, this relationship she had. And I think because I like her and she's really actually really good in the role, I was okay with it. But yeah. With Joy, she's like, I just don't believe her as a mother. At least at the time, she just felt so young. And her, I think in Joy, she had, like, two kids or something. And, like, Edgar Ramirez is her husband. And it just felt so, like, she just felt miscast.
I'm glad she stepped away from the David O. Russell of it all.
I don't know if she stays away, because I feel like she's better than that.
Me too.
But anyways, Jennifer Lawrence, really happy to see you. Glad you're back.
My first note, and I believe this so strongly, is Melanie Lynskey deserves better.
She's consistently great. Like, I'm trying to think of anything I've seen her in that I was like, man, but she's always good.
My love for her is so, it has no bounds. I love her so much. She's been married to two of my favorite men, Jimmy Simpson, and they were married and they had kids together, I believe.
Whoa,
Now she's married to Jason Ritter.
I love that for you, I guess. I don't really know how to.
I love those people and I love that they love each other, and
that's cute.
It just makes me happy.
You just want to be part of it somehow.
I just want to celebrate them. I'm like, I love you guys and I love that you're happy.
Right. Aw, that's cute.
Just love it.
Yeah, she's consistent in her performances, I think.
I haven't watched Yellow Jackets yet, but it's on my list. Mostly because of her.
I know that.
That's the show on, I believe it's Showtime.
Oh, that's fine.
It's Christina Ricci.
Where's she been at?
On Showtime. She did that weird, I think it was like a Penny Dreadful thing. Spinoff, maybe? I don't remember. But anyway, it's Christina Ricci, Melanie Lynskey, and a few other people who I can't think of right now. But it got a lot of buzz. A lot of people were talking about it. I think there's cannibalism involved. It's like all women.
Oh, okay. There's a joke there, but I'm not going to make it. What's wrong with your water?
Nothing.
Did you backwash it on accident?
A bit.
Hilarious. So the music that we played in the beginning was part of the score by Nicholas Britell, who I love very much.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to it in the movie, because I listened to the score beforehand, in the movie, for whatever reason, the way the title sequence was on the screen, it reminded me of Monsters, Inc. I have no idea why. The music doesn't sound the same, really.
But it's got that same like pep to it,
right? Very jazzy, very like
uh-huh.
jazz club. But yeah, I thought it was like Monsters Inc. Why am I thinking of Monsters Inc.? This is weird.
You know, I know score. It's not really my thing, mm-hmm. but I tend to prefer scores that are like their own character in the film.
Yeah,
that's and I did not feel this was its own character. Would have much preferred Spencer here.
Girl, yes. I would have preferred John Greenwood. He also is nominated for Power of the Dog, and I felt like we'll talk about it when we get there, but like with Spencer's score, his score for Spencer was, to me, far stronger than Power of the Dog. I know it's in Power of the Dog, and it was fine, but with Spencer, he was creating a mood, and like scenes... Mm-hmm. Scenes that were playing out just seemed like normal scenes, but his heavy like strings and like haunting music made those scenes completely different.
It created so much, it added so much to the anxiety that Kristen Stewart was portraying. I was like, if this music was different, I don't think I would have this strong of a feeling.
Yeah, and you're right, it is a character in that movie for sure, without a doubt. So I'm a little
sad. And I just felt it was very inventive, like the layering of, I felt like it was very classical on top of a more like jazz, and they like layered them, and I was like, this is so interesting, and I want more of it.
A lot of textures in the music.
Yeah, whereas this score, I barely noticed it.
It's fine, like, I enjoyed it better listening to the soundtrack. But in the movie, I didn't really notice it too much other than the title sequence. And I know that Nicholas Britell is like a huge collaborator with Adam McKay. And I love him very much. So whatever. I just think of like Nicholas Britell's score for, what is it, Moonlight? That's him, right? Yeah. Ugh. Or Bill Street.
Or Succession, even.
Right? That theme is a bop. I love him, but like, Spencer should have been there. Just double nominate Johnny Greenwood, because the Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor were double nominees last year for Soul and Mank. Why not?
Yeah.
Do it. So the movie. I feel like this movie, I understand that it's a satire. I know I've seen satire before, but I don't think it's funny enough and it's smart enough to be a satire.
I feel like it couldn't find its tone.
Yeah.
Did it want to lean more satire? Did it want to lean more serious? I felt like it bounced around a lot and it just never really quite found its feet.
No. And like, I understand, because I compared this to his other two with The Big Short and Vice. And with The Big Short, he was adapting a book. He had a source material. So when he's left to his own devices, a la Vice and Don't Look Up, he doesn't know how to like zone in on his mm-hmm. Point of view. He just kind of is like everywhere. It just, I don't know. Like, also, like, if you're wanting to convince people of something or bring them to your side, talking down to them and belittling them isn't the way to go. Like what's the first one? The Big Short. What's so interesting about that movie is he's presenting this information and explaining it to you in a really interesting way, mm-hmm. right? Whereas with Vice and this movie, it's just like, look how dumb you are. This is how stupid you are.
I got the same feeling I got from Joker. And I think I got the wording from a review that I had read for Joker. It was like, okay, this movie makes not so smart people feel smart.
Yeah.
Like, this is a movie for dumb people. And I don't mean that in like a disparaging way. Like, I just feel like what we were saying about, there's just no through line. There was nothing to tether it all together. And I found myself getting bored and... but also, fun little fact about Anna, I can handle most films about just about anything. End of the World movies.
Oh, that's right. You can't hack it. I forgot.
They give me anxiety. And so this already didn't have good things going for it, in my view. It definitely caused some anxiety. And fair if enough. We're going to... Just gonna jump ahead to the ending here. There's that montage right before the world ends, and it's purposefully made to make you cry. Like, it's meant to pull your heartstrings.
I didn't cry.
I was fine until they showed the fucking humpback whales. Because another fun fact about me is that you show me fucking humpback whales and I'm gonna start crying. And I was
that
like,
did you win? That did you win?
I was like, oh god, the world is ending, but the humpback whales are dying. Like. Lost my shit.
Oh no.
Because of my love for the humpback whales. And
that's rude. He did that to you.
And it was a mom and a baby whale. Like, ugh. And it was right after he showed the baby in the bath, which I was like, oh. And then the whales, I was like,
you know, I think like this
rough.
I feel like this movie is funny to people who aren't on Twitter. Because I was on Twitter at the beginning of the pandemic. And some of those jokes they were throwing out, while it was like, oh, scary, they were hilarious. Like, I feel like I've seen better and funnier jokes about End of the World on Twitter, like, every day.
Yeah, and because we're still so in the thick of it, I don't want to relive it.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood for pandemic content.
Yeah, and or, that's too obvious, too on the nose.
Like, or Trump-esque content. Like, no,
yeah,
we're going to
have... surprised that the media doesn't take it seriously. They're all worried about, like, celebrity culture. Yeah, duh.
And then the Don't Look Up versus the Look Up
Oh man.
Ooh. Like that just, like we just lived through this and it was so rough and it was so hard and it was still happening. Like I don't, this isn't entertaining to me. This is stressful and it's a also, like, downer.
I'm pretty sure our obsession, like the general public's obsession with celebrity culture, isn't the reason for climate change. Like he had a great opportunity to like show this is caused because of this. And he just presents it as this meteor is coming to us because our leadership is terrible or because we're obsessed with singers and rappers. Like that's not the cause of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he didn't have a message, wasn't able to present it in the right way. Sorry. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, I feel like McKay thinks he's like, Adam McKay is like actively changing people's minds, but like the way he goes about it is just, it says, I know better than you and you're an idiot to listen to me. You know, he thinks that it's for the people that he's mad at, but like I said, demeaning people into what you want them to believe isn't the way to go. Like who's this movie for anyway? I don't get it.
I have no idea.
I don't understand.
And there's some people in my family who said, oh yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was an okay movie. And I'm seriously questioning.
I mean, I will admit to laughing a couple of times. Yeah. I don't remember why.
I really enjoyed Jonah Hill's bits, but I felt like they were so out of place.
Yeah, he was the only one doing that type of humor. And then he made like a dragon tattoo joke. I'm like, what year is it, Jonah? Come on. Be quicker than that. He just felt like he was the only one doing that type of humor, so it felt really weird. But I think the whole bit about, like, Jennifer Lawrence, like, he's a general. Why would he charge us for snacks?
That was my favorite through bit.
Yeah, okay, fine. More things like that. Like, more jokes that last the whole movie would be interesting. And I think with her, Jennifer Lawrence and Timothée Chalamet were... Hold on, I wrote a note here. I don't get it wrong. I said I enjoyed Jennifer Lawrence and Timmy because I think they were able to best sell the comedy and drama simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You know, they were. I was like, okay, again with Timothée Chalamet, he's a person born in the church, and he's like since separated himself from it, but he still has that core values inside of him, right? So showing this perspective, this whole like. The left and the right situation through him would have been really interesting, but they don't go nowhere. They don't go anywhere with it. You know, I mean, other than that really, really touching prayer at the very end, like what was the point of him really? Like, and then the whole affair subplot with Leo and Kate Blanchett, like why? This doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, why do we need it?
No, it didn't add to whatever message he was trying to get across.
No.
Unless his message was, like, fuck celebrity culture. Like, then that's fine. But don't try to make it about something bigger than that.
Yeah.
Like, just make a movie about celebrity culture.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, I love Leo. And I think he's a great actor. But I don't know that I believe him as, like, a middle American nerdy Star Wars nerd. You know what I mean?
With a wife his age and adult children.
I know that's true. Like I wrote, like I'm so used to seeing Leo with younger women that him having a love interest his own age and grown children seems really weird, which is problem, maybe.
And I think it's another thing of Hollywood always casting men to have these younger women, these younger wives. So like, I'm so used to the idea of him in a movie being a husband to like a young wife with a baby, not grown adult children,
or like. Kate Winslet that one time,
but you know what, I'm into it. If he keeps going like this and playing roles his age, I could get into it.
Yeah, especially like Adam McKay like rewrote the script because he really wanted Leo in it so bad.
Oh really?
Yeah, so sorry, my notes are kind of blurry.
It's okay. Yeah, I didn't write much.
Leo's part was rewritten because Adam McKay wanted Leo to be in the movie so bad. Yeah, and he was like, climate change? I'm in. Because you know how he's very much...
Oh, like, that would make sense.
So it wasn't so much about, like, Adam McKay or his Oscar prowess or whatever. It was more just like, climate change? I'm in.
Let me make a movie with a message.
oh my god. Which, if you really care about climate change, you would have picked a better project, but
whatever, it's fine.
So this, I really, 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 really hate this Adam McKay, these fucking weird angles that he does. It's so, it happens in Succession a lot, but I think because I'm so into that show at this point that I either ignore it or forget it. And he doesn't always direct every episode, so that helps. But like that scene where Leo is screaming at the talk show,
mm-hmm.
the camera, like, you guys listen, like it's gonna happen. He's like moving the camera and weird, like behind him, in front of him, below him. Leo's a great actor. Trust your actor, trust your script. Let him act, let him do it. Leave the camera there and let him do the work. Like it kind of felt like the camera was making fun of him a little bit. Because the camera's moving so much. But if you really wanted to get your point across to the audience, you would have the camera there or maybe slow pan in or something. It just, it was like making that. Also, like the inner cutting of like the still photos and the nature shots. Why?
To show what's going to be lost.
I guess. Also, every time they said different generation, I like wanted to vomit.
Yeah.
I hate that. Sorry. This kind of reminds me of, I watched this thing on Netflix called Death to 2020.
I watched that and 2021.
Oh, there's another one? I didn't know that. And at the time, it was kind of funny because it's the same idea, but they're commenting on the world, but it's like these actors doing these...
absurdist characters.
Yeah. But they're talking about, my favorite is Samuel L. Jackson talking about the Oscar nominees. He says, he calls Little Women like four girls on the cusp of Karenhood. That always makes me laugh. So it reminded me of that. Like, that was the idea maybe he was going for. It just wasn't successful.
Yeah, I really just feel like this would have been a better movie had he leaned one way or the other. But because he tried to ride that middle line, it just fell very flat to me.
Yeah. And then I read that this is the end of Adam McKay's, like, political movie trilogy. So hopefully he doesn't do anything else political.
Good. Or
make a movie. I don't know.
Or make a movie.
I think the Academy was like, But people genuinely like it. So maybe, I don't know. The Big Short was really interesting because it was different at the time. And just now it feels like.
I wonder if Hollywood enjoys this film because it's their friends acting in a different way. Maybe. Like, we've never seen Meryl Streep do that. We've never seen, it's a very different role for Leonardo DiCaprio. Cate Blanchett, it's different for her. It's fun. Like, look at all my friends doing something fun and quirky.
That must be
so fun.
Hollywood is such a small community.
Mm-hmm.
I have to remember that. Because I tend to forget it a lot. Also, question. Because it's nominated for best editing, does that just mean the most editing? What the hell?
Was it my internet being slower, were there moments where it like stopped and then continued, like weird pauses?
Maybe. I don't remember.
I feel like there's a few moments where something like stopped really quick and it like froze, but then it would keep going.
Maybe that was your connection then.
It was so minimal that I was like, I can't tell if this is my connection or if they're trying to do something here.
Well, it's him. It's Adam McKay, so who knows? Also, the end credit scenes were stupid and not needed.
I didn't watch them. I didn't know about them, and I had to leave to go pick up somebody from the airport.
Oh, really?
And that's totally cute. Forgot about them until you just mentioned it.
That's not cute.
Honestly, it's nominated for 4 Oscars, and I don't agree with a single goddamn one of them.
Especially editing. Like, yeah, you're right. None of them. Best Picture? No. It should have been anything else. Original Screenplay? It should have been, I don't know, anything else. Who else is nominated for screenplay? Do you have the list with you?
Yeah. It's Belfast, Don't Look Up, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, The Worst Person in the World. For me right now, it's The Worst Person in the World.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Original screenplay.
I'm trying to think of what could take its place.
Right. What could take its place? Original screenplay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure if it would be original, but maybe Parallel Mothers.
Literally anything. Yeah, because even if you just dialogue wise, it's terrible. And in scene direction, it's also terrible. So what?
It was just a mess, man.
It doesn't make any fucking sense. Literally anything. I don't let me see everything. Whoops. I spelled that wrong. That's nice.
Amy.
Original screenplay.
I don't know. But
yeah, anything else.
Yeah. Or you know what? Just leave it out.
We can only have this many. It's fine. I mean, I'm not surprised I didn't care for it too much. Also, Chris Evans.
Right?
That's really funny to me. And then I read that he was supposed to play Mark Rylance's part, but he couldn't because of scheduling conflicts. It would have been interesting.
I love Mark Rylance. I think he did a good job.
I enjoyed his he's Mark Rylance. Like, he knows the assignment and he does it. Like, he's
not. Yeah. So, I think it's very easy to rank the three we've talked about. I don't know about you, but I did it in a heartbeat.
Oh, we're going to let me see if I have any other notes before we finish, because we're pretty much done. I wrote, I hate her haircut, Jennifer Lawrence. Timmy has a terrible wig.
No. What? I think that's his hair.
Oh, that's even more of a yikes. Okay. I also thought of Armageddon. Why don't they just go on the comet and just drill the thing? Like, hello, call some Bruce Willis. We'll figure it out. let's see.
Yeah, send some construction workers to space.
Yeah, that's fine. They did it Armageddon. That's fine. Mark Rylance, actively changing. Just make sure I get all my notes out of here. Subplot, first subplot was unnecessary. Oh, and actually, really, I kind of enjoyed the Ariana Grande song because she's like, just the fucking scientists, they know what they're talking about. And I was like, lyrically, it was pretty good. But really, they didn't need to be in the movie either.
No.
It wasn't necessary. But whatever. So, yeah. Also, this got a 56% on Rotten Tomatoes, the lowest of all nominees. So
not surprising.
You know, we can do our rankings. That's fine.
I have a feeling we're the same.
It's going to be a shocker, I can guarantee you.
Oh, you're going to shock me. Okay, then you go first.
Well, at the very bottom, it's Don't Look Up.
Wow.
And then number two is a Belfast.
Oh, girl.
And then number one is Coda.
And speaking of Coda, they won the SAG Award.
Yeah, they did. Ah! Girl, I was crying. I was crying my eyes out.
I didn't watch the ceremony. I was watching a documentary. I was watching Attica, which we'll talk about later. But man, I'm so happy. And I'm so excited for what that means for Oscar night.
I'm not really good at predicting like who wins whatever, because it doesn't always happen with the SAG winning the Oscar, whatever, right. It's fine, but they won. I'm fine with it. It's history making. Troy Kotsur won. And then on the TV side, the the leads from Squid Game one as well. Okay. I'm happy. I'm happy. They're happy. It's good stuff. And the Marley Mountain speech was really great. All of it was good. Crying my eyes out. Yeah. But yeah, that's Don't Look Up. Would I recommend it? No. But maybe you like it. Person who's
listening. If that's your thing, go for it.
Yeah, definitely mine. So.
So this isn't goodbye. I will be back. Literally, it's not going to stop for you guys, but I'll be talking to Joy about her thoughts, and you might hear some repeats from me. And it's going to be the same thing for our next episode on Dune, but then we should be back to normal after that.
So we just got to Frankenstein it, and it'll be a fine.
So hang tight.
Good. Yeah.
Say bye, Crystal.
Bye.
Hey, guys. So now it's Anna and Joy. Say hi, Joy.
Ooh, hello.
So now, Joy, you kick us off. Tell us what you thought about Don't Look Up.
Oh, it was kind of just there.
How did this happened?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes there's like a lot of great people involved in something, but because the director or the composer, like the person making the decisions, doesn't always make the right decisions or isn't using these parts to their best of their ability, mm-hmm. it just kind of like is lackluster. Like, I know Nicholas Britell is amazing. I know the cast is very, very talented. Like, we've done other Oscars that, like, they've been nominated and they've been great. And, like, we've seen them do really good work. And they were, like, funny here and there. But just as a whole, like, I don't know. Again, with, what's his name? Adam McKay. I don't know what he was trying to get us to think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm left kind of with like question marks, not necessarily about like the story or anything, but just like, so what was the point? And like, if there was no point, then why? Because like, okay, so it's a satire, but then like, why would you, I don't know. I just have a lot of questions for this man, and I would really love to talk to him just to be like, so like, are you aimless, or like, is that just how you come off?
Okay, two things. One, I love that, you know, you weren't part of our first conversation and yet you're saying the exact same things we were. Like, yes,
100%. Oh, really?
Like, I love that we all think the same. Like, where, what are you trying to say? Like, what is your point? Crystal and I were like, I was saying, like, there's, I feel like there's, he couldn't find the tone that he wanted. Like, did he want to be serious? Did he want to be more satirical? Did he want to, like, it kept bouncing back and forth, and therefore it never really landed.
Okay, so you want to be funny, so you want to make it a satire, then do that. Because like, when you do, when he does comedies, like, what did he do?
I think he did
Anchorman, like, or Step Brothers.
One of those things. He's a producer on that Fresh movie that's coming out.
Oh, I'm really excited about that movie. It looks interesting.
Me too.
Anyways, back to the point. He did. Wow,
he's produced a lot.
Oh yeah, Step Brothers, Anchorman. Like, I will admit, I fucking love Anchorman. I think it's hilarious. I think it's stupid, and I think it's great. Step Brothers is funny, but like,
but it knows what it is.
Yeah, like, it has a clear direction. Like, Anchorman is the stupidest, dumbest, like, just downright idiotic thing I've ever seen, but I laugh my ass off every time. It's so great. It's so great. It's so great. It's so bad that it's good. But like, his like Vice was so bad that it was bad, and like, this is so like meh that it's just meh. Like, it's just middle of the road. Like, okay, the score is great. The, I mean, what how can Nicholas Britell do anything bad? Like, I haven't seen him do anything bad. Meryl Streep is hilarious. Although
this score was not it for me. Like, no, like, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah, it was like, he can do this with his eyes closed. So, like, he wasn't giving him anything. He wasn't giving him any direction. Like, it was just hitting all the typical beats. Because when I think about, like, okay, Coda could have been, like, a very easily predictable, like, coming-of-age story with, like, a little romance and a little family drama.
Yeah.
But even when it pivoted from the traditional beats, it was, it made it interesting. This just, like, hits all the things it was going to hit. I waited to watch it so long just because I was like, I already know what to expect. I already know this director when he tries to do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And then the topic doesn't help because I'm like, why are you trying to, like, guilt your audience when your audience isn't necessarily the people that should be guilted into doing something about this? Like, you're barking up the wrong tree. Like, I already know this shit is bad. Like, I know. And I guarantee you that the majority of people my age know.
We literally just lived through this. Like, yeah. We don't need to see it. I said earlier to Crystal, I was like, what it reminds me of a feeling I had about Joker was that this is what, for dumb people, this is a smart movie.
Yeah. Like, I understand, like, some people aren't as informed or whatever, but I feel like at this point, like, you gotta know. You gotta know the shitstorm that we're in. Like, it's not, you can't ignore it. Like, there's no reason why we should be having ice in fucking March. Like,
so, here's, I was like, you know what? I've never seen a picture of this man. So I just looked. I'm on Adam McKay's IMDb. And I'm like, oh, he's produced a lot. Yeah. He's produced a lot of things that I enjoy. So that's the deal? Confusing. I think it's when he writes. I don't think he's a strong enough writer.
So he wrote this.
Maybe director. Yeah, he wrote and directed it. I don't think. Also, he wrote the screenplay for Ant-Man. I had no idea.
No way. I mean, apparently. Ant-Man was fine. It wasn't my favorite. I mean, I didn't even watch Ant-Man when it came out. I didn't watch it till years later because I was like, I don't care. Even when I watched it, like, the best part of that was Michael Peña. So I would like to know, like, did Michael Peña improv his lines or did Adam McKay write these for him? That's where I give credit.
He baffles me because obviously he's not without talent.
Right. He's good at other stuff. Things.
He's got an eye for things. Directing, I think he makes some really odd stylistic choices that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
But writing, he is not my favorite writer. I find it clunky. I find it. Crystal and I were talking about how with The Big Short, there was, it was adapted. So we had, something to base.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit stronger. Whereas Vice and Don't Look Up, they don't have that tether. Like, there's nothing holding it together. Yeah. And it kind of veers off and it doesn't quite hold together. Because, like, honestly, what is his message in this movie? What is he trying to get away with? I did not enjoy it. Plus, I hate end of the world movies. They make me anxious.
Yeah, I was stressed. I was not.
And I was fine. And yes, I'm repeating myself, so fuck you if you're rolling your eyes or whatever. But I was fine. Until the very end, and that fucking montage, I was holding it together until they showed the humpback whales, and then I lost my shit.
Aww, little whalies.
It was the mom whale and the baby whale, and I was like, oh god, yeah, we're all gonna die, that's fine, but not the whales!
They're ancient dinosaurs, they can survive.
Again, if you're listening from the beginning of this to now, I'm about to cry again, so...
Oh my God.
Fucking humpback whales, man.
I just don't like, okay, like, I would love to see more of Meryl Streep being like a terrible president. That's hilarious to me.
I thought she was so good in this. I thought I liked this side of her comedy wise.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to see more of this from her. More like, yeah, more of this. More of this is good. Jennifer Lawrence was good. Like, I was like, okay, all right. She's doing good. Good for her.
Welcome back.
Yeah. It's a good comeback for her performance wise. Jonah Hill is very funny.
But what we pointed out earlier was that, like, he was the only one doing that kind of humor and, like, constantly, like, throwing jabs. It was funny. He landed some really great ones. I really enjoyed his contribution, but it just felt out of place.
Yeah, I'm just left with a lot of questions here, and I'm just, like, speechless, I guess, just because, like, I don't, like, it wasn't bad. It was not Vice. Thank God I didn't have to sit through that again.
I was just about to say, you know what this movie has going for it, is it's not Vice.
It's not Vice. Vice was the worst piece of garbage I've ever seen together. It literally looked like it was edited by me after knowing nothing and just thrown on YouTube maybe, like, 15 years ago. It just was, I mean, I don't even talk about it. It's garbage. This movie had all the, it felt like the budget was big and you got big stars and, like, woo. But, like, what did you do with it? Like, you get the chance to work with Meryl Streep, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Jennifer Lawrence, and, like, literally, like, this entire cast. And this is what you give me? This is it? Like, I really liked little bits of it, just, like, performance-wise. Like, oh, my God, Cate Blanchett as this character. Hilarious. Can we please give her and make her and Tyler Perry the new, like, Good Morning America host? Because it would be so entertaining. I would actually watch Good Morning America. They were great together. I feel like when it comes to scripts like this and directors like this where they do so much, like, supposedly so much improv and whatever, I want to know, I want someone to give me the screenplay and highlight what did Adam McKay actually write and what did the actors come up with on the spot. Because, like,
right,
I know that, like, Cate Blanchett, Tyler Perry, and Meryl Streep can, like, pull something out, no problem. They have no problem with improv. So, like, what was he writing? Like, what? Because I saw some like outtakes of Meryl Streep whenever she's in the White House and she's saying all that. She's coming up with the randomest phone calls. Fucking hilarious. Amazing. So amazing. Good.
And the fact, like, that they were, like, so random each time. Like, it wasn't slightly different. Connected. No. Completely.
Just off bonkers. The cuff. Like, what? Okay. I would love to see more of this.
I have to imagine Jonah Hill was very similar with his jazz as the Jennifer Lawrence character. Like, that girl with the dragon tattoo, I'm sure that was him.
Yes. Yeah. See, like, there's things of this that could have been more successful had they been in the right hands. But I just think that Adam McKay is not the right, like, captain of this ship.
I don't think he should captain the ship.
Yeah, I think the ship was just sitting in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean doing nothing. Like, there was, like, three or four people trying to paddle, and that was it.
But why I think this movie has done so well is because Hollywood loves itself, and it loves to see its people. Like, we've never seen Meryl Streep do something like this.
And no!
Leonardo DiCaprio is doing something very different. Cate Blanchett and Tyler Perry are doing something different. So they're like, oh, my friends are up there, and they're doing something completely different, and it's funny, and they're great, so let's push this through. And everyone's probably worked with Adam McKay because he's produced everything.
I really would love, oh my God, my favorite thing, one of my favorite, like, bits, I think it's on Vulture or Entertainment Weekly or whatever, where they do the secret ballots for the Oscar. And so they'll interview someone and they'll give you exactly why they voted for what they voted for. And it's just hilarious for me to see, like, one, you don't do your homework and watch what you're supposed to watch. You don't even watch, like, all the best pictures. Like, at the bare minimum, you should do that. And then whatever category, you know, your guild is in. The other thing is that, like, there are so many varying opinions on movies. Because, like, you know, yeah, there's very polarizing movies. There's movies that, you know, everyone's not going to be a fan of. But, like, I love seeing those secret ballots because I would love to see them for more people and just be like, you guys are legit just like, oh, my friend got nominated. Let's vote for them.
Yeah. I always forget come Oscar season, like, oh, it's literally a popularity contest among friends. Like, actual merit doesn't always matter.
Right. Yeah. It's not, yeah, it's not as significant as I wish it would be, which is why I've, like, in the recent years that we've been doing this a little bit more, I've been looking more at, like, the Critics' Choice Awards or, like, the, oh, what was the one from Monday? The SAGs was on Sunday, but there was, like, some other, I think the Hollywood Critics Association, their awards was on Monday. And, like, just, you know, some very, very good choices for, like, winners, because, like, Coda won their Best Picture thing. Andrew Garfield and Kristen Stewart won their. Yeah, both of them.
Coda won again?
I believe it was the Hollywood Critics Association, the HCA.
That sounds right.
I was following it on Twitter on Monday as mom was driving. And it's so, I like, now that I know more about, like, these other awards, and, like, it's, I feel so much more validated, like, oh, okay, yeah, so other people did watch these movies that we're watching, and they did like them. It's not just, like, I'm gonna vote for my friend, so, I feel like I don't always agree with the critics, but it definitely leans more towards, like, a more neutral assessment of a performance rather than just like, hey, my friend did this.
Yeah, the Hollywood Critics Association Coda won a Spotlight Award.
Okay, yeah, that's like their that was the last one that was announced, so a big one for the night, I guess.
It didn't win Best Picture, though.
Oh, okay. What won?
I don't know. I'm just looking at Coda.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Arms open wide. Oh, this is a good view.
This is, I know, I moved the thing and now it's like, hello, chin.
It's like your hand.
So
let me know if you agree with this. This is what we said earlier, but we said that we don't believe that it deserves any of the four noms it has. So which, it has Best to remind Picture. You, Best Picture, Original Screenplay, Original Score, and Film Editing.
Yeah, Original Score, he can do this with his hands tied behind his back. It's a phoning it in. Not a phoning it in for him, because he's talented, but it's just like, it's just
it,
basic.
It should have been Spencer.
100% it should have been Spencer. First, okay. When we talk about Power of the Dog, we'll talk about that. But yeah, Johnny Greenwood, his nomination, to me, it's for Spencer. It's not for Power of the Dog. But whatever. Or nominate him twice. Who cares?
Yeah.
Better than this. Original screenplay. I mean, I guess it's original, but like, I really like. Again, this is another one that, like, someone...
With what it's up against, I...
What's the other ones?
Belfast, Don't Look Up, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, and The Worst Person in the World.
Oh. Well, I haven't seen a lot of those, so I can't say. Is it better than Belfast? No. Although I have issues with Belfast, too. But maybe they ran out of original screenplays.
Crystal and I were having a hard time coming up with a replacement, because honestly I would replace Belfast and Don't Look Up.
Yeah, same.
But I would have to do some digging and thinking. I don't know what's original and what's not. But for me right now, my pick would be Worst Person in the World.
Yeah. Can't wait to see that. Yeah, it's not super original. First of all, I don't think it's super original idea, because plenty of people have had Twitter conversations this depth, with this much depth.
Crystal says, this is basically like being on, this movie is like being on Twitter.
Literally. It was horrible. It was just like not the most pleasant experience. So no original screenplay. No score. No, it should not be in Best Picture. It's just, it's very middle of the road. It's like, you could have been great, but you missed the step.
Could have been a contender.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess other people like it, so whatever.
Do you ever, I sometimes, when it's shit like this, I'm like, am I the one that's wrong? Am I broken? Like, what is it? What am I not seeing that a lot of others like actually enjoy?
I
know my taste is wild and it's not always great, but I mean, same with Belfast. I'm like, what am I missing?
I know, because people love it. Critics and love it. And I'm like,
what am I not seeing? It bothers me because I feel like I'm wrong. But I'm not.
But you're not. The other thing is, too, that, like, I just, are we getting too technical about it? Are we not immersing? Did we not immerse ourselves in the story enough? But, like, no, I did. I really tried to get into Belfast, and I tried to get into Don't Look Up. And I just was like, first of all, why is this movie 2.5 hours? Why? They've got to stop doing this. I don't care. I do not have a long enough attention span. I cannot do this. Ugh. I literally had to take a break halfway. And I was like, is this barely halfway? God, this is one of those that just feels like, it does feel like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I feel like I could have been watching a better movie. I feel like I could have just rewatched Sense and Sensibility instead. Which I've been meaning to rewatch, but I don't have time.
Could watch more of my D&D shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just...
It's not shit, it's great.
I just missed the mark. I'm sure I haven't said anything original, but like, or anything that you guys didn't say earlier. But like, I mean, what is there to say? It's not very meaty. Oh my God, it makes me think of that line from Cinderella's story. You're not very pretty. And you're not very bright. I'm so glad we had this talk. That's basically it.
Oh, know what movie was? I was cleaning my room earlier and I put on, oh my God, excuse me, a random movie on Netflix. I put on Just Like Heaven with Mark Ruffalo and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot that homeboy from Napoleon Dynamite, he was like, do you have like a diet, anything? Because like a cola, I'm part, like, what does he say? I'm parched. Oh, now I'm gonna have to look it up. But I was like, oh man, I used to quote that all the damn time because to me that was comedy.
Oh man, I haven't seen that movie in a million years.
It's on Netflix.
Yay!
I will be finishing it when I go to bed.
Yeah. So, what was the fourth one it was nominated for? Screenplay, score,
picture? Editing.
Ugh, film, I mean, editing. Okay, it was not, again, it was not as bad as Vice. But I don't know. No, what else is nominated for editing? Let me see. Ow. Dune, King Richard, Power of the Dog, and Tick Tick Boom. Okay, yeah. It can't compete with Dune, first of all. It can't compete with Tick, Tick, Boom. No. It can't compete with Power of the Dog. The editing on that was very subtle, like everything else in that fucking movie. And I still haven't seen King Richard, so I can't tell. But literally, like, no, it's not even close to Dune or Tick, Tick, Boom or Power of the Dog. So why are you here? Some years it feels like they just ran out of nominees.
Yo, do you have, like, a diet, anything? I'm, like, 99.9% parched here. Could really use a cola. I'm, like, 99.9% parched. That's oh what I used gosh. To quote all the time.
But make it Southern.
I'm like 99. I'm like 99.9% parched. Sorry, I was really distracted looking for that while you were talking about film editing.
It can't compete with the other ones, basically.
Things like editing and sound design and all of that, like, I feel like I can't say much because I feel like I don't know enough. You know, I feel like that's out of my scope of opinion.
Uh-huh.
Unless it's, like, really good and it stands out, then I feel like I can say something. But, like, I don't know what the hell I'm talking. I can barely put this recording connected to the recording I made with Crystal earlier. Like, that is the extent I could maybe cut out. I could maybe cut out a section.
Anastasia for best editing. Best sound mixing. Woo!
That is the extent of my editing experience, knowledge. I believe it's incredibly complicated, especially when you have a director, someone like Fincher, who takes like 1,000 shots.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's something I need to educate myself on more, because I always feel like when we talk about these subjects, when these categories, I'm like, mm-hmm, sure, yeah, cool. that was really great sound editing. What? Film editing.
Film editing, yes. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a step up from how distracting Vice was, but that's not saying much, so. I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was good. I just think, again, just very... in the middle, nothing spectacular, nothing horrendous. It's just there. You know, it's a film that exists. What else can I say?
But the That's fucking all I got. Back whales, man.
Also, Timothée Chalamet making out with Jennifer Lawrence, that was weird to me. That just
they don't have that much of an age difference, but he feels like such a baby compared to her.
Yes. I was like, are you making out with a youth? That's incredibly.
And maybe it's because she's constantly played older than she is, but.
Yes.
I don't
know.
It made me feel like a little weird at first. I was like, oh, they're probably like. Because she's, I think, just a little bit older than me.
Yeah. She's like a year or two older.
She's probably like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, but at least like 6 years, yeah. I don't know how old he is. He just looks like a pointy Italian shoe. I've never been able to get that out of my head after someone said that on Twitter. Oh, he's 26, and she is...
I'm going to guess 32 or 3. I think she's
I'm going to go with 32. 31. Okay. All right. So just 5 years. Okay.
So she's a 90s baby, a 1990.
90. Mm-hmm. She's only a year older than me. Wow. Okay. Well, okay. I guess you're right, because she's always played up as older, and then you put her with someone relatively her age. She just, not that she looks old, but she just like, no. In my head. She's been, like, a mom for a million years. I'm like, so.
You made The Hunger Games a million years ago. You're an adult. Like, you're a grown-ass adult now.
Right? Can't believe we're almost pretty much the same age. That's amazing. That's nuts.
Doesn't that also, like, kill you? Going, ugh, I've done nothing with my life.
Ugh, well.
Not that you shouldn't feel proud of where you are and what you've done. You're amazing.
Thank you. You're so sweet. It's just crazy.
Okay, so Joy, what is, I think yours is going to be so vastly different from ours. What is your ranking? If you're sick of this joke, fuck you.
So it's Belfast Coda in this one, right?
In that order?
No. I'm asking. Those are the only three. I was like, wait, we haven't done Dune. Yeah.
No.
Oh, God, no. That's not my
I was like, wow, I was joking, but that was different.
You know, I just try to be very unique and, like, make my own path. No, fuck no.
Very unique.
No, it's impossible. Okay, so obviously this is at the bottom. And then Belfast and then Coda. Wow.
Wow, I think that matches mine and Crystal's. That's wow. Crazy.
A shocker. Although I really love when we, you know, when there's a little bit more variation. But what can we say? We're only three movies in. So, like,
yeah,
give us, like, two or three more movies for us to make some switches.
Yeah, there'll be some switches later on.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure there are. Yeah. I don't know about really. Yes. Too many noises. Okay. Was it your booty?
Yeah. I fell and like bruised the shit out of my tailbone and
it hurt. Her booty hurts.
It feels so much better than yesterday, but I think because I've been on it all day now, it's now starting to hurt towards the end of the night, but oh man, don't fall on your tailbone, kids. Advice from me to you. Aren't you lucky you have me?
Yes, ma'am. Very lucky.
So with that advice, we're going to sign off. Sayonara. Again, it'll be like this for our next episode, Dune. Then after that, we should be back to normal.
Yeah, we should.
For our many, many listeners who are very concerned.
I know. What? Oh, my God. This is a shock to their system.
Thank you for your listens and leave reviews.
Yeah, still none reviews.
Yeah, I think we have the one.
The one, yes.
So, bye.
Bye.